Rabbi Jacques Kukierkorn may have one of the largest congregations in the world. Well, virtual congregations. Born in Brazil, he now presides over a small synagogue in Overland Park, Kansas, some 80 families there. But every Saturday, the congregation grows because people from across Latin America log on to his unique virtual synagogue, which live streams services in both Spanish and Portuguese.
Essa semana, porém, nós começamos ler livro novo da Torá, Bamidbar.
Well, that's not all. Rabbi Kukierkorn also helps Latin Americans who wish to convert to Judaism. The process begins online, and eventually he travels to the country to administer the traditional rites of conversion. Rabbi Kukierkorn calls this his life's mission, but it's not popular with all members of the Latin American Jewish community. The rabbi joins us now from the studios of KCUR in Kansas City, Missouri. And Rabbi Kukierkorn, welcome.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
I wonder if we might first start off with your own personal experience. You were born in Sao Paulo and born and raised in Brazil. What was it like being a member of the Jewish community there?
It was like living in a little shtetl, a little village from Eastern Europe that my grandparents transplanted to Brazil. We lived a fully Jewish life. I lived in a building where there are seven floors. Every family was Jewish. I went to Jewish day school. You heard people speaking Yiddish on the street. I only came to have what Martin Buber would call an I-thou relationship, you know, a relationship of equals with non-Jews when I went to college.
And the reason why I ask is because for people who aren't familiar with the Jewish community in Latin America, I mean, I wonder if you can describe how large is it? Who are the people who make up the Jewish community there?
São Paulo is one of the largest Jewish towns in Latin America. There may be maybe 100, 150,000 Jews, but they live in a very insular way as a result, perhaps, of persecutions in the past, security concerns, perhaps. They really are not interested in having relationships with people from the outside.
And I ask because I guess I'm just curious about what it is that inspired you or compelled you to become involved in the work of aiding in the conversion of Latin American residents who are interested to Judaism.
You know, I believe there's an awful lot of trauma that's handed down in the Jewish population, be it the Inquisition, be it the Holocaust. And I think this trauma is almost passed genetically from one generation to the other. I cannot undo that, but what I can do is reach out to people that need help, that want connections with Judaism. That is, I consider to be my mission. It's what makes me feel worthwhile. It gives meaning to my life.
I mean, you mentioned the Holocaust. How much does that have to do with why you feel so committed to this work?
We are small people. Today, there may be between 13 and 16 million people. At the same time, the descendants of Anusim, of crypto-Jews, may be 40, 50 million around the world. I don't think the world becomes a worse place if there are more Jews. At the same time, I want to make it clear, we're not proselytizing. There are lots of people seeking access to Judaism.
Well, you mentioned the Anusim, or the descendants of Jews who were forced to convert to Christianity but who maintain their Jewish identity secretly. For these people who reach out to you through your online synagogue, why do you think they don't reach out to local rabbis in Latin America?
They do all the time, and then unfortunately they find normally doors closed. And since generally they don't get a positive result, then I felt compelled to use a creative way, to use the internet, to do long-distance learning.
I've seen in other interviews that you've done, you've said that in part it's because the local Jewish community or those rabbis in Latin America prefer people to be Jewish by birth. That's what you've said before.
That is absolutely true. It's a very complex reality, different than ours here in the States. The Jewish community has challenges. They have threats. They are fearful of outsiders. They are very cautious to allow people, especially those who cannot prove their Jewish identity. So, and for me, the proof is in their heart, is in their longing, is in their desire to learn, to participate. And I try to be this bridge between their longing and the Jewish community.
Now, Rabbi, if I may, several times already in our conversation, you've underscored that you're not proselytizing, and that is because it's, you know, strictly forbidden in Judaism. But on the other hand, I also see that, again, in other interviews you've done, you've said that you want to perform 6 million conversions. How can that be done without proselytizing?
It's a figure of speech, because I always say, God forbid, I'm not saying that anybody who I convert will be a replacement for my great-grandfather, great-grandmother, who were gassed and killed in Treblinka. But I think that every time I perform one more conversion, I'm not only impacting on the current Jewish world, I'm creating a whole new Jewish world. There are babies being born today as Jews because I converted their mom and dad, or mom or dad.
And for those individuals whom you help through the conversion process in Latin America, what happens to them after that? Are they welcomed into the Jewish community there, or is there still that tension?
Generally, they're not welcomed. What I tell them is, we'll create our own congregation. It may be in one or two generations. This is not going to matter anymore. But that, in as much as I convert them, I feel obligated to continue providing them services. So we have services, religious services, we have lectures, classes, counseling, etc., all the time.
So tell me a little bit more about that, if you can. Who are the people who log on online to your virtual synagogue?
There are all kinds. We have from this humblest people who live so isolated and they don't even have a computer and they have to go to internet cafes, to doctors and lawyers. And there are people who, for instance, they wish to convert or become Jewish or learn about Judaism, but their spouses won't. So then they would not be accepted anyway. We don't discriminate on any base, and we are certainly very open to homo and heterosexuals. And this is a unique thing because many, many people approach us that have had the doors closed on their faces because of who they are.
The history of Judaism in Latin America is long. I mean, dating back to before the Inquisition, and I mean, especially during the Inquisition, where many Jews were forced to convert. By speaking with you, I hear that obviously you're reaching out or have reached out to many, many people who are interested in reconnecting with their Jewish roots, no matter how far back they go. But I also understand that you've opened an actual synagogue in Mexico City.
The synagogue in Mexico City is where we webcast our services in Spanish. And I deliver the sermon. Doing this virtually is only a step on the way of having real physical synagogues. So we do the best we can right now to try to help these people, to try to provide them what their souls are yearning for.
Well, Rabbi Jacques Kukierkorn is rabbi of Temple Israel in Kansas City. He's also the founder of Brit Bracha, the first web-based international Spanish Jewish community. Rabbi, thank you so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure.